The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.
Great week for us. We're all in top form, aren't we? Because the Olympics, all those successes, is wonderful to see. And I was in America early this week, and two Americans said, "You Irish, you're doing great." And it's a great thing to see the Irish win, isn't it? And our Irish-American friends were very happy with that as well. We're all watching Ireland, aren't we? Lots of events coming up over the weekend as well. And in fact, I'm joined now by Ger Gilroy from Off the Ball, live from Paris. Ger, how's it going?
Yeah, pretty good, Luke. How are you?
Not too bad at all. Yes, very excited, of course, Ger. Give us a sense of it over there. Come on. The buzz must be tremendous, well, is it?
Yeah, it's kind of ridiculous because Paris is such a beautiful city, and what they've done is they've put the venues all over the place. So to the north, you have the swimming and the stadium, which will obviously host the athletics, and that's up and running. Obviously, a bit of disappointment for us last night in the 4x400. The boxing is up there as well. The rowing is on the east, and it's this beautiful, it's also where the canoe slalom is, and it just, I mean, it's going to be a site of Irish significance forever after what happened there yesterday. And then in front of the Eiffel Tower is the beach volleyball and Place de la Concorde. They have the Gen Z Sports, which is, I think, also going to host the break dancing, or breaking, as it's called now. Right. And everywhere you look, it's beautiful Paris.
Yeah, so it's tarted up. In spite of the opening and on the rain and everything, Ger, it was a bit miserable. And some of the vibe wasn't great some of the time, I believe, early on. But you reckon it's recovered now, and it's full steam ahead.
100%.
Yeah,
so great. I think the French media actually really liked, particularly the last hour and the transcendent end of Celine Dion, and everybody you spoke to afterwards.
Yeah.
All of the complaints about, oh, the traffic is bad and they've closed off everything, and why are we doing this? And it costs so much money, and we spent $1 billion to clean the Seine. It's not even clean. And then they're like, sublime.
Yeah, that's
like,
right.
You know, we've had it. It's great.
Yeah, it's great. Isn't it? Yeah, great images coming as well. Now, we must come on to the excitement, Ger. Is this the best Olympics ever, do you think, that we're going to have?
Yeah, I mean, it's the best week we've ever had in terms of the range of sports and the depth of talent that we have had perform to a level that, like, the rowers, for example, must have been under intense pressure to go and deliver what they knew they could deliver, which was an absolutely dominant performance.
Yeah.
It's all well and good being the best in the field, but then to actually perform on the day at the specific moment that you need to, for 6.5 minutes, you need to be the fastest rower in the world, faster than everybody else can row at that moment. And everything came down to it, and they delivered the way they said they would, the way they knew they could. Daniel Whiffen was kind of the same in that he expected, because he'd set world records at the long distance swims this year, and actually his best event is the one that he's in the heats of this morning. So he expects to win another gold tomorrow.
Yeah.
I think Mona McSharry started it all off by, like, unexpectedly in many cases. I think she hoped she would win a medal, but didn't expect to, and won it by 0.01 seconds from two other people. So that jeopardy that was there, where she could have finished fifth, she did finish third. That kind of just injected this whole sense of potential into the week, and it's just been a rolling ball of momentum since.
Well, gets it, the 0.01 second, didn't she? That was the difference between her and the fourth person. It just shows how tight these margins are, doesn't it? But the men from Skibbereen, we got to talk about them, haven't we, Ger? Fantastic performance again. And as you say, I mean, we take it for, not quite for granted, but we're used to them winning, in a sense, at least Irish rowers are. But it was a spectacular performance for them, wasn't it?
Absolutely dominant. You could definitely be worried. They're so relaxed in terms of their strategy is to not hit. They hit 8 out of 10 early, and they don't really care about where they are in terms of the lead or not the lead until it gets to the 1,000, the 1,500 meter mark. And that's the point they get to the 10 out of 10 full max performance. And that's the bit where it gets decided. But actually, it's really decided before that, because if they're any way close to you, they're going to burn you off with their sprint at the end. And that's exactly the way it played out. So the crowd kind of relax for the last 100, 150 meters. And when you think about it, we as an Irish sports audience relaxing into winning a gold medal at the Olympic Games, it is kind of ridiculous.
It's unprecedented.
I'm sorry, just 100%. Like what Paula Dunham has done in 3 successive games is win medals. That nobody's ever done that. Back-to-back golds as a team, no one's ever done it as a team. But certainly nobody since Dr. Pat O'Callaghan 100 years ago, basically, has won back-to-back golds for Ireland. And to your point about taking it for granted, that's the last time that event will ever be in the Olympic Games. So their name goes in the history books, but it also means that we won't have a lightweight pair in the Games, because it's being replaced by coastal rowing to try and boost the popularity of the sport. So we definitely should not get complacent, because there's no guarantee that whatever weight class Paul Dunham moves up to, and we're not sure yet what Fintan's plans are, that they're going to be as competitive as they are at that weight.
Right, yeah. And I saw as well, Jared, I mean, I think Fintan said it felt like Skibbereen, he said. And I think Paul said the crowd was full of tricolours. I mean, the level of support is wonderful to see as well, isn't it?
There was this beautiful moment yesterday where loads of the Irish fans had waited around, and I was wondering who they were, but it actually turned out they were all from Skibbereen. There's this huge Skibbereen crew. Their coach, Dominic Casey, is from Skibbereen as well. And so he was there milling around, basically refusing to take any credit, despite the fact he's clearly some kind of coaching savant. Like,
must be, yeah.
You know, in the elite level of Irish coaches in any sport ever. You know, he's delivered medals, not just for the two lads, but for other internationals as well. And he's been with them the whole way through. And they came out after winning the gold and doing all their press, and they just got embraced, kind of, they were subsumed by the crowd. And it was just this beautiful moment where everybody was so happy. And a couple of Skibbereen locals belted out Skibbereen. I've got to say, it was like one of the great sublime.
Now, what's coming up, Jer? What can we watch for? Now, I know there's lots of things. Do you think we're going to win at the golf? Let's start with that one.
I don't think either of the two lads are going to win at the golf. Leona Maguire has a chance. That's next week's golf in the women. I think, look, Rory McIlroy needs a big, big day today if he's going to get into contention. And it might be too much for Shane at this stage, unless he burns the course up today and tomorrow. They've probably left themselves a little bit to do. The big things today, Whiffen's in the pool this morning, but that's probably a formality given how good he is at this distance, that he'll qualify for the final, and that final is tomorrow evening. Reese McClenaghan goes this afternoon. I think it's 4 your time. And I mean, Reese McClenaghan fell off the horse literally in Tokyo. And since then, he's done absolutely everything that he needs to do. And it's in an arena where he has had success. So I think it's a less than 90 seconds. And he only gets to go once on it.
My God.
Consider the pressure the rowers are under. Yeah. Oh, I can't get my head around it. So that's that. And then Kelly Harrington fights this evening. And if she wins that fight, which is against the woman she beat in the gold medal fights in Tokyo, then she'll be fighting for the gold medal as well. So that'll upgrade her current bronze to silver. So it has the potential for the next 48 hours to be the best weekend in Irish
ever.
Olympic
history. That's right. Yeah. What about athletics, Jared? Now we've got Adelecki, of course, coming up. I saw Michael Johnson was interviewed, and he said she has a good chance of winning gold. So, what are the odds there? Yeah, that's right. Exactly. Imagine Michael Johnson saying you're going to win gold, but I say that'll be like water off a duck's back to her, I imagine. You know, but your prediction there.
It's really interesting. Johnson actually was critical of her running style. Not critical. He had a recommendation for her that she adapt her running style a little bit. And this was about 18 months ago. And we put it to her in an interview recently. And she was like, yeah, I took that on board. And then he saw that clip and was like, this is a fine example of an athlete not taking the hump when somebody says something about them, but actually taking advantage of good quality advice. And you're like, well, there's a kind of circularity to this whole thing. And if she wins, we've never had a sprint. We've never had a sprinter win a medal at the Games. And if I don't want to put any extra pressure on her. No. I think that it's a massive step up from the level that she's been at. There's also the intensity and the pressure. And just the athletics, they're not at their peak form at the moment. The 4x4 were disappointed with their performance last night. Now, again, it was a big step up, but they were medalists recently, and we all had some high hopes that they were going to be able to reach the final. And then maybe Rashida might have had a decision to make about whether or not she would have run in that. But she made the decision early that she wasn't going to run. And in retrospect now, that looks like, you know, a really good idea. So if she gets a medal, I think that would be pretty amazing, bearing in mind she is still very young.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Now, what about badminton? I've got to ask you about badminton. I wouldn't normally watch these sports, by the way. And I've never watched the pommel horse outside the Olympics. But badminton, what do you reckon there?
Well, I think we just came up against the class of the field. The Danish defending champion knocked Nat out a couple of days ago. I think that was, I'm losing track of time here because we've been on the move so much, but I think a sport like badminton, it's a great example of the sports where there's a moment for them to get a bit of coverage and remind everybody that this is locally based, community driven sport, and that you can aspire to be at the Olympic Games. That's kind of the magic of it.
That's just the magic,
your point there about people watching stuff that they would never watch. And I think as well, the difference this time, Luke, is that it's in our time zone. So when Tokyo was happening, it was happening with no crowds because of COVID, and it was in the middle of the night. So you're waking up and going, did we win something? It's not quite the same as actually watching it live. And yeah, that's the other thing about not taking it for granted. The next one's in Brisbane, not great for time zones. And the one after that is in California.
Yeah.
And who knows where the one after that will be.
Now's our time, Jared. We look forward very much. Great weekend coming up ahead of us, isn't it? Jared, thanks very much.
No worries, Luke. Take care.
Great stuff. We're going to go to an ad break.
The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.